The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
Yeah, super. Thank you, ladies, for that. That's great. Take your Bible and go back, if you will, and look at 2 Corinthians chapter 9, if you will. Look at verse 15, where the Bible says, "Thanks be unto God for this." Now watch this very carefully. "For his unspeakable gift." Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Then over in Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, as those of you that are familiar with sharing the gospel, you'll be familiar with this particular verse, where the Bible says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Then in Luke chapter 2 and verse 7, the Bible says, "And she brought forth," it says, "her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes." And I want to speak this morning on gift wrapped. Gift wrapped. You know, most of the time we will gift wrap a gift and we'll place it perhaps under a Christmas tree. Perhaps you have another special location where you'll take that special gift and you'll gift wrap it. You think about these wise men that came. They came bearing gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Now you'll notice that they're not wrapped. You'll notice that these men that were coming brought gifts, but they were not wrapped at all. Now maybe if they were wrapped, it would have been something like Joseph speaking up and saying thank you for the gifts, and maybe being instructed by Mary to be able to carefully unwrap the gift and fold the paper so it could be used for another couple of generations and put it in a satchel somewhere. But you don't see that anywhere. You see that the gifts were not wrapped. Now, somebody said this: the reason they were not wrapped is because it was wise men that were delivering them, and they knew that they would be unwrapped, and so why wrap them anyway? And so they knew that. And somebody else said the reason they weren't wrapped is because, after all, it was men that was delivering them, and men wrap lousy gifts. And so whatever the case may be. You know, by the way, if you're a man and you're trying to get a Christmas gift and you want it wrapped, it might be safer for you to buy one that's already wrapped. Maybe to get around wrapping, you can find a bag somewhere, put it in the bag, something like that. Or maybe just put a bow on it and not wrap it at all. Just put a bow on it, stick it under the tree. There's all sorts of ways to get around wrapping it. But I will tell you this, the Bible says that the Lord Jesus Christ, if you will, was wrapped in swaddling clothes. Now that was God's gift for you and I, was his own precious son that was wrapped. He thought so much of you and I that he wrapped his son just for you and I. You think about other things that he did. You'll see in the Garden of Eden, there was Adam and Eve, and he gave them a piece of skin to be able to wrap themselves instead of that which was the leaves. You think about how he gave Noah an ark to wrap his family in so that they'd be protected from the great flood. You think about how he gave Abraham a promise concerning his seed, and he wrapped up the seed of Abraham's heritage in a promise. You'll see how he gave Sarah a precious miracle son in old age, and if you would please, wrap their inheritance in that to come for many years. You think about how he gave Isaac, if you would please, the promise of a ram as he was on Mount Moriah, as Abraham rose up with a dagger. You think about how he gave to Jacob a people, if you will, and they were wrapped up in the 12 tribes of Israel as later he would become Israel. You think about that which is Joseph, how he gave Joseph the position of being the prime minister of Egypt, and how God wrapped some very special things for his dad and for his brothers, if you will, that forsook him, sold him into bondage. You think about how he gave Moses the power to be able to do miracles in front of Pharaoh, and being able to take and cuddle the children of Israel for 40 years across the desert area. You think about how he gave the kings, if you would please, the ability to be able to preside over a certain people, or how he gave the prophets the ability to be able to plead with the people about God's amazing grace and how God wants to work in everybody's life, or how he gave the shepherds the pronouncement of the angels that would come and would bear the name of Christ, or how he gave the wise men the leading, the pointed leading to be able to follow the star into the city of Bethlehem, or how he gave Jacob the patience to be able, in a very strange circumstance, to stand before people and to be able to pronounce Christ as being the only begotten of the true Father, or how he gave that which is the Prince of Peace to you and I. You know, God made sure that we understood that he is a God that gives, and he's a God that gives, and he's a God that gives. You understand in John chapter 3 and verse 16 where it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." James says this in James chapter 1 and in verse 17 as he writes that every good gift and every perfect gift is from above that cometh down from the Father of lights. And so God is always showing us how he gives. It was Jesus that, of course, told the woman at the well. It says, "If thou knewest the gift of God," it says, "who thou sayest to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water." And so we understand that God gives, and 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 that is the very nature of God. As we come to church on a Sunday morning, to understand that God is a God that's a giving God. Paul was used to pen these words in Romans chapter 8 and in verse 32 where it says, "And he spared not his own son." The Bible says that he should not with him also freely give us all things. And so God demonstrates his gift through his own son. Timothy is quoted by saying this, if you will, says, "Neglect not the gift that is in thee." 1 Timothy chapter 4 and in verse 14, the Bible says to stir up the gift that is in thee. The Ephesians, in the book of Ephesians, you see that Paul is used to be able to pen these words where it says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." You see this in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 15. "Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift." And you see all throughout the Bible how God takes very careful measure to be able to give us the full understanding of him and his, if you would please, graciousness of giving. And isn't that what Christmas is all about? Where we hear about the Savior, where we hear about, of course, God, if you will. I was very pleased with one of our judges, as all of a sudden it was a school here in Texas that said you cannot put up Peanuts, if you will, please, or Charlie Brown, because there's a partial quotation, if you would, please, of Scripture, and it's a separation of God and state. And of course, I thank the Lord that I think it was 2 years ago that Texas passed a law that saying you cannot pass any laws that would take out Merry Christmas, and you cannot pass anything that would separate the true meaning of Christmas. And so the judge ruled and made the principal put it back. And boy, I thank God for stuff like that. Can I say, you cannot separate God from giving. You cannot separate God from the gift that God gives. You cannot separate that which is Christmas. Now, you may try to, and you may try to turn it into some type of materialistic holiday, but can I tell you, it's not happy holidays, it's Merry Christmas. Can I tell you that we need not to, you know, somebody says, "Well, I tell you what, they'll take and they'll write Xmas," and but you know, not everybody understands the old way of being able to pin some Greek word or something like that. And so because of that, we commonly say Merry Christmas. We commonly tell people, Merry Christmas. You know, you go, I like it, don't you? I just like saying it over and over and over again, don't you? I like going into the gas stations and man, I'm seeing people and I'm giving out those tracts that we have that says Jesus is the reason for the season. And man, I'm passing them out like running water, and I'm walking around and I'm saying, Merry Christmas to you, and Merry Christmas to you, and Merry Christmas to you, and Merry Christmas to you. And you know, it's just fun, isn't it? I mean, there's a way to have fun. You say, oh, preacher, you have fun that way? I have fun that way. Sure beats getting drunk. I have fun that way. Sure beats doing drugs. I have fun that way. Sure beats stealing and winding up in jail. I have fun that way. It sure beats listening to some music that's going to harm my soul. Boy, I tell you what, I have fun being able to represent the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And by the way, you will enjoy Christianity a whole lot more if you get in it. Oh, you say, but preacher, I am a Christian. Yeah, it's got you, but my question is, do you have it? Do you have it? You know, it's one thing for us to name the name of Christ. It's one thing for us to get our 10-pound Bibles. Now, let me help you a little bit, but it's one thing for us to come to church and get a 10-pound Bible and walk in there, and it says King James Bible right across the cover, and you walk in, and you're smiling from earlobe to earlobe, and you got the religious terminology down, and you come. But can I tell you that church is more than just a religious gathering? Church is not where you come and just, well, here's what I'm going to do. And sometimes this is all Christians get. This is all they get out of it. They get a Bible and they come to church and they think they did God a favor by showing up. Can I tell you, God's not interested in you doing him a favor. God's interested, because he's a giving God, in doing you a favor. Now, what is that favor? He wants you to learn how to have a personal relationship with him. Wouldn't it be good to be so close to God that you called out to God and said, God, I need a prayer answered. Oh, God, if you don't come through, I'm through. Wouldn't it be so good to be so close to God that God hears and answers your prayer? Wouldn't it be good to be able to feel the warmness of the Holy Spirit because you've got such a personal, intimate relationship with God that you know that God's going to come through, and you know that God's going to take care of you, and you know that God is there at your beckoning wish to be able to help you because he loves you as a father. Sometimes I think we miss it. I think we come to church on a Sunday morning as just a religious gathering. But dear friend, can I tell you, if coming to church on a Sunday morning or even on a Sunday night or Wednesday night is just a religious gathering to you, you've missed it. You've missed it. There's a relationship that the Creator God, the Creator of the universe, wants to reach down and have with you. There's a relationship that he wants you to understand. There's a relationship that, you know, and I think sometimes people that get backslidden, stay with me now, people that get backslidden, they lose their joy and they don't know how to get their joy back. They lose it. You know, it used to be, perhaps you even sitting here, find yourself in that state of being where you used to be on fire for God. You used to maybe go soul winning, or maybe work a bus route, or maybe teach in a Sunday school class, or you used to be on fire and bring people to church, but now you just come and show up and that's about it. And you're dead. I said you're dead. Dead spiritually, where, you know, you just barely make it through. Well, I made it through one more Sunday. Oh, hope I can make it tonight. Boy, I dread coming to church. And can I tell you, dear beloved friend, if that's the state that you're in, when you dread coming to church, you are a backslider. You are a backslider. Now, can I tell you, the way to get right is the same way you got wrong. You change your direction and put it in full mode. You decide that you are going to get close to Christ. Getting close to Christ is a decision. Living for God is a decision. Falling in love with the Lord Jesus Christ, that is a decision. You have to decide that you want in and you don't want out. That's why our Bible says that we're supposed to put on Christ. Why is that? Simply because it's a choice. It's a choice. Oh, come on. I've been around Christians and you wonder if they're really saved. You know why you wonder if they're really saved? Because nothing coming out is that which is a picture of salvation. You know, if we're really saved, it ought to come out. Hello, it ought to come out in the way we talk. It ought to come out in the way we walk. It ought to come out in the way that we are in church. It ought to come out among our friends. It ought to come out among our relatives. There ought not to be any question, is that person truly saved or not? You know, these people, it's got one foot in the world and one foot in Christ. No wonder they're so unhappy. You know, they're being pulled both directions. But can I tell you, if you put both feet in and you decide that you're going to get back to where you ought to be, you're going to find out that the joy of the Lord is still in the same place, and the joy of the Lord is in Jesus Christ. Now, can I say, let me give you some ideas this morning about how God, if you will, please, gives us gift. God wrapped up his gift, if you would please, in Old Testament mystery. You know, all the way through the Bible, you're going to find Jesus. All the way through the Bible, you're going to find Jesus. You're going to find him in the materials of the tabernacle. You're going to find him in the colors of the garment. You're going to find him in a thousand places. And what God wants us to do is to unwrap Jesus, to be able to see the wonderfulness of who Jesus is and how Jesus could take and work in your life. You know, he's the seed that's spoken of in Genesis chapter 3 and in verse 15. He is, if you would please, that one that is there. He's Shiloh, as spoken of in Genesis chapter 49 and in verse 10 as he gathers his people. He's the prophet, if you will, in Deuteronomy chapter 18 and verse 15, where you see in Deuteronomy where he raised up out of the midst of the brethren, if you would, to be hearkened unto. You'll see that in Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14 that he's the great Emmanuel. He, if you would please, is the one that's conceived by virgin according to Isaiah and is Emmanuel. You'll see that also in Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6 that he's called Wonderful and Counselor and Mighty God and Everlasting Father and the Prince of Peace. He's called the Messiah in Daniel chapter 9 and verse 26. He's called the Ruler in the book of Micah chapter 5 and in verse 2 as he's born there of Bethlehem, Judah. You'll see that he's supposed to be and will be the Ruler. Now, can I tell you that God unwraps all this in the Old Testament? Boy, he unwraps it and says, let me tell you who you're talking about on Christmas Day that you call it. Let me tell you who you're talking about when you talk about the birth of Christ. He's just not the Son of God, but he's the one that came, if you would please, wrapped in flesh and was pre-incarnate, that which is Christ of the Old Testament. And God unwrapped his gift in the Old Testament, and you see that which is the mystery. Then you see that God wrapped up his gift in the stable. He wrapped up his gift in the stable. And so God shows us in the Old Testament the wonderful Savior that is to come. And all of a sudden, he's revealed to man. Amen. He's revealed to man here, as you see, in that stable. She wrapped him, the Bible says, in swaddling clothes. Now, by the way, only a mama can be able to show the affectionate love and attention that a baby ought to have that is a newborn. Only a mama. You know, I get the privilege, my dear wife and I, we get the privilege because I'm pastor here, and I get to go to the hospital of everybody that has babies. Woo! But can I tell you, the way my wife holds a baby and the way I hold a baby is totally different. I got that manly thing, you know, and she's got that tenderness. She'll hold that baby and she'll just kind of cuddle it ever so much. Nobody can hold a baby like a mother. You know, and boy, she'll be able to come. And those new moms that have these newborn babies, they hold those babies and they cut them ever so much. You know, and I'll take them just like a hunk of cheese. You know, and it used to be that I'd be afraid of holding them. I'm not afraid of holding them. They don't break so easy after all. You know, but I remember when I was just a young preacher and I'd go visiting these babies in the hospital. And the mama would say, would you like to hold the baby? I'd say, no way. Uh-uh. No, I don't want to hold you, baby. I just came here to pray with you and pray with the baby. And God bless you. I came by to what a wonderful gift that God has given you. And I would not hold the baby because I'm afraid if I drop the baby. Now, I learned that I can hold them without dropping. Matter of fact, when they're newborns, they don't wiggle much. And so you just hold them, you know. But now I'm saying this, nobody as the Lord Jesus Christ was being held, if you would please, by Mary. There's a certain feeling. There's a certain preciousness. There's a certain cuddliness. There's a certain wrapping, if you would please, that would wrap that baby with tenderness. And all of the fulfillment of the Old Testament was held in Mary's hands. All the fulfillment of the Old Testament prophecies have now come to be in the very hands of Mary. All the typologies, all the teachings, all, if you would please, of the truth of the Old Testament, all the things that you and I would want to understand. I mean, in Mary's hands is the story of Moses that is smiting the rock. In Mary's hands is the brass serpent on the pole. In Mary's hands is the manna in the wilderness. In Mary's hands is the lessons learned by Jonah in the whale. In Mary's hands are all the Psalms of David. In Mary's hands are all the Proverbs of Solomon. In Mary's hands is everything that ever would happen. It is the fullness of God come in the flesh. It is God Almighty. It is the dividing of the Red Sea. It is the burning bush. It is Daniel in the lion's den. It's the three Hebrew boys in the burning fiery furnace. All this is sleeping in Mary's hands and swaddling clothes as Mary would take that little one that is called the Savior of the world and would declare that this is the Christ child. I tell you that Paul says that in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily in Colossians chapter 2 and in verse 9. He said all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. See, this is not just the birth of another baby.
Amen.
This is the birth of that which is the very Son of God.
Amen.
And all the power of the Godhead is found in the Christ child. Now, can I tell you that he himself said, I and my Father are one in John chapter 10 and verse 30. Can I remind you, as the baby was wrapped there, not only was it the mystery of the Old Testament unfolded, not only was it the element of everything that ever was, and yes, the fullness of the Godhead, but it was also Mary was holding the future of every person that would ever be born again in her hands. Every child, every teenager, every adult that would ever bow their head, receive Jesus Christ as Savior, trust in the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ to be able to give them the status of becoming a born-again believer. Can I tell you, Mary held that precious baby in her arms that day. Can I tell you that the doctors later on would be confound, those that were theological doctors in the temple, because Mary held the precious Son? Can I tell you that one day John the Baptist would baptize the Lord Jesus Christ as he would identify through righteousness to his own Father, being obedient as she held? She held the death, the burial, and the resurrection. She held the Christ that would die on the cross, that would go to the grave, that would raise victorious over sin, death, and the devil. He was the one that was going to walk into the mercy seat one day and lay his own blood as the blood that would be laid down in the mercy seat, as the high priest would do so often with that which was a sacrifice. And he himself became the lamb. The complete sacrifice for all humanity was found in the lamb, the Son of God, that day. And can I tell you, Mary held that little baby in swaddling clothes. God wrapped up all of the Old Testament mystery in that little wrapping that Mary held and would be revealed on that day. Mary wrapped up God's gift in the stable. Can I tell you, Satan wraps up God's gift in ignorance. Satan wraps up, you know, Satan said, oh, just a baby. Satan would say, well, you know, that was just about a woman in a stable somewhere that had a child. And so very disrespectful will Satan try to confuse the hearts of young people. Look, I came up in the age where people would walk streets and they'd sing Christmas carols. I came up in the age where even in the public school, different choir groups during the Christmas time, all they sang was about baby Jesus. I came up in the days where Christ was much alive in America.
Amen.
I came up in the day where when you passed out a gospel tract, whether a person wanted to receive it or not, there was a great reverence and respect for that which was the Bible and the truth that was therein. Now, can I tell you that Satan tries to wrap God's gift up so that nobody can see it? It cannot be revealed. He tries to hide it, and he does that through ignorance. The Bible talks about how Satan has blinded the men. And the Bible says the minds, it says, of men. It says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and in verse 4. The Bible says over in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and in verse 14 that the natural eye cannot understand the gift of God. Satan bounds man up in religious theology, religious tradition, and religious customs. Come on. You know, there's more kids that get excited about seeing Santa Claus than they hear about the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, and so Satan tries to bind people up. Satan tries to build up barriers. You know, let me help a little bit. Satan has some of you believing that because you sinned and you got away from God, that you could never get it back. But can I tell you, you can get it back. You know, the Bible says if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So what do? I get on my face before God and say, I've sinned against you, and God, I ask your forgiveness, and God forgives. Amen. That's who God is. Amen. See, that's how come you can enjoy the joy of the Lord. Right. By the way, the joy of the Lord, dear friend, is there for you. Amen. You know, you can enjoy the joy of the Lord. You can do that. You don't have to walk around looking like you've been sucking on lemons. Amen. Amen. You don't have to walk around looking like, well, I lost my best puppy. You can actually experience the joy of the Lord if you put him first. Amen. If you step out and obey him and put your flesh behind you. Hey, even Paul said that he crucified the flesh daily. Amen. All right? Now, wait a minute. So Satan, what he tries to do is he tries to wrap up that gift in ignorance. Let me give you one last thing and I'm done. The Holy Spirit unwraps God's gift for all who believe. You know, it's so neat how God wrapped up the gift of the Old Testament mystery in Jesus Christ. Being held by Mary that day. And as he is born, you begin to see prophecy after prophecy after prophecy after prophecy that was fulfilled. So he even began to be unwrapped at that day. But now wait a minute. It's been a continual unwrapping. Mary in that stable, she had God's gift in the stable, and it was wrapped for you and I. You understand that Satan tries to wrap it up, if you will please, that gift of God so that we'll be ignorant of it. But the Holy Spirit. Now, I often think of God's grace for me. Wasn't raised in a Christian home. I mean, just like you had no right to be saved, but wasn't raised in a Christian home, had no understanding of the gospel whatsoever. Not whatsoever. Then all of a sudden walking in a carnival ground where a guy took a Bible and he quoted scriptures from a Bible and showed me a color string and began to witness to me, and I got saved in a carnival ground. Now you say, what is that, preacher? I'll tell you what it is. It's the grace of God.
Amen.
I walk down the hallways and I know I don't write songs like Mrs. Palmore. She does such a great job. And I know I don't write songs like Mrs. Baldevious, and she does such a great job. I can't sing like a Brother Palmore, and he does such a great job. I can't sing like my family. Boy, they do such a great job. Just the other day, the family got together, and they said, hey, look, now Debbie's here, and Heather is here, and Mindy is here, and these boys are married, these girls, and Rebecca's coming back. Let's all get together and sing and have a family group. Well, I looked at Heather, and I said, you going to do it? She said, well, I'll do it if you do it. I said, well, I'll make you a deal. I'll do it if you do it. But if you back out, I'll back out. And she said, well, if you back out, I'll back out. And I said, so well, let's not back out. Let's just go ahead and do it. All right. Now wait a minute. You know, to be involved, if you will, please, to be able to serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, to be able to see God working in somebody else's life. I pray for different ones that have children, that their kids, when we have a time where we dedicate children, and we pray that God will save them at an early age. Always we pray that. Why do we pray that? Well, we pray that because we want them to get saved at an early age. You know, I'm so glad I got saved at the age of 18. But I think, man, how much farther ahead would I be if I would have got saved at the age of 6 or the age of 7 or the age of 8? Now, thank God for my heritage. I'm so thankful about salvation. I walk down the hallway and I sing. I can't write my music, but I can sing about grace. And I'll just sing a song, and I don't know what the song's about, but it's always got grace in it. I mean, I'll be walking down the hallway and say, thank you, Jesus, for your grace. Thank you for saving. And I'll just sing it and sing it and sing it. You know why? Because I'm just so happy. Amen. You know, if God wasn't using me to preach in churches in different places in America or across the sea, I'd still be happy because I'm saved. Amen. I'd still be happy. You know, the easiest funerals I ever preach in my life was preaching the funerals of people that are saved. I'm so glad that I'm saved. I'm so glad that my husband has the privilege of having a saved husband. Hello. I'm glad about that. I'm glad I've been able to be a testimony to my children, and they have a saved daddy. And now I'm a grandpa, too young to be a grandpa, but I'm a grandpa. And I'm so glad that my grandchildren can have a saved grandpa. I'm glad about that. Now, I'm saying this. I'm saying the Holy Spirit unwraps the very gift of God. He does that. He unwraps it for you and I. Now, because of that, we ought to be grateful. I say often, when things come up in church, to volunteer for it. Volunteer to serve in the nursery. You say, preacher, that is purgatory. No, it's not. It's the nursery. You know, volunteer to be able to serve God and maybe help somebody along the way in providing stuff and being able to be a blessing to people. I'm saying this. I'm saying you can unwrap the gift of God as the Holy Spirit works inside of you by volunteering, by inviting people to come to church, by just being what I think God wants all Christians to be. You know what I'm saying? You ever see somebody and they get excited about selling a product? You ever see somebody, they get excited about selling, they believe in their product. You know what I'm saying? I mean, boy, they believe in their product. You know, and they push that product, Brother Palmore. They just push that product. You know, somebody told me the other day, they said, preacher, this was another preacher that asked me this, said this. He said, you know, I know when you came to our church and preached, you're just passing out tracts every time we went to a restaurant. He says, is that normal? A preacher asked me this. I said, I think it is. I think it's normal. You see, it's like somebody gave me more than $1 million. Because somebody gave me, do you understand the value of eternal life? Amen. Do you get that? Yeah. You know, and it's like I get the privilege to tell somebody how you can have more than $1 million. I get the privilege to tell somebody how they can one day be able to dwell in a land that's full of mansions. Yes. And you could have one of those if you'd work and do what you're supposed to do. All right? And so, I, you know, I'm saying this. I'm saying that what a privilege that is. And what a privilege to stand around a Christmas tree and not sing Rudolph the Red Rose, Rudolph's got a red rose, a red-nosed reindeer. Or Santa Claus is coming to town. But sing songs about Bethlehem. Sing songs, if you would please, about the wise men, follow the star. Sing songs, if you would please, Silent Night, Holy Night. You know, to be able to bring it back. Because I think the way we bring it to our children is the way they're going to remember it. Hello. I visited a little girl in the hospital. As I visited a little girl in the hospital, had an adult lady, but younger than me much, but she had a little one, I was at a hospital, and you know, we were talking and whatnot, and we were talking about the good grace of God, You know, and what a privilege it is today to have a baby and be able to take that baby. I mean, come on. I'm not going to have you raise your hand, but I guarantee you most of you, if not all of you, would. I'm not going to have you raise your hand, but I guarantee you that probably most of you would. Said, you know, I raised children, but to be honest with you, preacher, I made a lot of mistakes. If I said, do you identify with that? Have you made a lot of mistakes? I promise you, probably most of the adults in this room would have to raise your hand. Made a lot of mistakes. Well, Mrs. Wells, Sylvia and I would too. We'd have to raise our hands. But can I tell you this? For those that come up, and they come up in a good, strong, Bible-believing, fundamental Baptist church like this, and you hear the truth, and you understand about child-rearing, and you hear the truth, and you understand about finances, and you hear the truth, and you understand about relationship building, and you hear the truth, and you understand about how you're supposed to be in obeying God. Did you know you can rear a child to be able to be more secure in their life and to be able to have the joy of the Lord more than you ever did? Simply because of the fact you got more truth. Isn't that good?
Yes.
Here it is, and I'm done. You'll see that this baby brought peace to a world without peace. This baby Jesus, not just a baby, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Savior of the world. Sheldon and I was out soul winning yesterday, and we went to the hospital. We made a visit, and he asked if he could be my partner again, and so we went out together. And so yesterday we was out soul winning, and as we went soul winning, we started to go over to this apartment complex. I noticed that there was different management in there. I've never seen them before, and so I said, let's go talk in there. And so we went in there, and we're able to lead two apartment complex managers to Christ. Boy, as we led them to Christ, they just sat there and they listened. You know, they ignored everything else that was going on. They put their paperwork down. They allowed us to take the Bible and show them their need of Christ. They bowed their hearts and they received Christ as Savior. And then they thanked us over and over again, you know, and invited us to come back. You know, now can I tell you, God changes people. Give you a closing story and I'm done. I've often told about my dear daddy when all of a sudden Maryland National Bank was going into a crunch time. My daddy, not being a saved man, he turned to the bottle. And as he turned to the bottle, he'd wind up getting himself drunk many times on a Friday, not during the work week, because he was very loyal to his position working at the bank and what he did. But on Friday, he'd hit the sauce and he'd come home and oh my, it was not a good time in the house. But I remember after Daddy got saved, he took all that liquor and he said, no more. Didn't know nothing about the Bible. Nothing about the Bible. But he had a Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Took that and he poured it down. Watch this. And then something unusual. My daddy used words that I think sailors probably learned from him that cursed. I think he was their educator. I'm telling you, I've never heard my daddy say stuff without saying curse words. Never. I mean, it's just a part of his lingo. I mean, almost every third, fourth, fifth, sixth word, I mean, he just utters something out, you know. It just come out. It's just a natural part of his speech. But when Daddy got saved, something took place inside. I mean, all of a sudden, he started feeling bad. Never felt bad about saying curse words before. But he started feeling bad about saying these curse words. Hello? My wife, my dear wife and I, we'd go back and visit Daddy up there, and he lived in Delaware at the time of his death, and we'd go visit him, and Daddy all of a sudden, normally when he'd drop something, he'd blah, 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 and say these bad words, you know, or he'd get frustrated about something, and blah, 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 he'd say these bad words, you know, or he'd get irritated about something, blah, blah, blah. See, but Christ changed him. Did you hear what I said? I said, Christ changed him. And all of a sudden, he'd say a curse word, and here's what he'd do. Every single time, my wife could testify to it, but every single time he said a curse word, he'd say, he'd get real embarrassed. You know, his face would turn red, and he'd say, oh, please forgive me. I shouldn't have said that. Please forgive me. I'm sorry. You know, I shouldn't have. Now, my daddy very seldom ever apologized for anything, but he sure did apologize for that. You know why? That Holy Ghost. That's why. See, God changes people. That's why I'm all about telling people about that wonderful gift that God gave us in His Son. Father, bless, we pray.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.